Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, that makes 14 straight Big 12 conference titles for Bill Self. Just how big is this?
Well, for starters, it has never been done in the history of college basketball.
Bringing you all of the KU Jayhawk scoop, straight from the players, coaches, and recruits.
JK, I understand you've got some breaking news for us?
I do. I've just learned that Les Miles and his staff have landed another big recruit.
For all of the latest news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. Now, here's the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. We are back with another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. This is a great time of year. It's the holiday season. We've got college football wrapping up. We've got men's basketball already into seemingly mid-season form with a top 10 matchup at 4 o'clock in the afternoon here locally. KU basketball, KU football at the same time. It's absolutely the best time of the year. So with both sports going, both news coming from both sides of the KUAD, that means that we have the whole crew back in the studio again. Let's get things kicked off. Let me welcome in the fellas. First of all, our man on the basketball beat, Shay Wildebor. Shay, how are you today?
I'm good, man. Just enjoying this weather outside before it turns this weekend. And got another hoops game tomorrow and then Sunday. And hopefully our Chiefs roll. So, yeah, man, life is good.
It is a great time for sports. Like you said, I mean, there's football, there's basketball, there's the NFL, there's NCAA. So much going on. The NBA is getting ready to start up again after seemingly taking, 3 weeks off? I mean, it's a crazy time for sports fans.
It's time, man. It's time to get going.
It is. It is. And our man John Kirby from the football side joins us. Kirby, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you doing?
And everything is, like we say, everything is good. It's a great time of year. I mean, obviously the holiday season, we're all extremely well fed right now. There's lots to do. The weather is really nice here in Kansas City, like Shay said. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this, guys.
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, you watch the weather. Heck, I went out yesterday. I let the old leaves slip, so I went out and got some yard work done. It was incredible, and they say it's supposed to be nicer today, and then all of a sudden I'm watching for the weather for the KU game, and I see, 37 for the high and possible flakes in the morning, and you're just like, man, good old Kansas City weather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the potential for snow on Saturday comes just almost seemingly out of nowhere after the week that we've had. I mean, it's crazy. It really is. I mean, like everybody always says, if you don't like the weather in this part of the country, wait about 5 minutes and it's going to change.
Yeah, that's no kidding. Everybody got their Christmas lights up?
And had them up for weeks, dude. What are you talking about? Wonderman over here.
Shay, you're always one of the first people to put yours up. You are very, very consistent about that. When did you, did you have them up before Thanksgiving? When did you put them up?
Our neighborhood association, you know, we have this HOA thing, of course, that runs everything. And The first day we could put them up was November 15th. And we had them, Kemper and I had them up that day. Blow ups and all.
November 15th. That's 2 weeks before I do mine.
Yeah. And listen to this. So you guys, I've got a two-story house, right? So I do the bottom row of my house lights, and my neighbor, who's a fireman, comes over and does the top for me. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Get him a little $50 gift card to Chipotle and say, thanks, bub.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I got a guy that comes over and hangs our lights every year, and he's got to get up pretty high. And I'll tell you this, I wish I could just give him a $50 gift card because he hammers us for a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. I looked at it. I looked at doing that this year. No, I had to say, sorry, bub. We'll do it.
Well, let me tell you the deal. Your first time that you do it, I remember when our kids were young and we've used the same company, the first time you do it, you get hammered because you have to buy all the lights. And then once you do that, it's actually not that bad. But I can tell you, it's a lot more than 50.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they store the lights and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And then they just kind of come back out every year and, you know, right before Thanksgiving and put them up. And, you know, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah, one company I did wanted 400. The other one had like 7.
Dang.
So I said, no, I'm good. Lord. I'm
wow.
good.
Wow.
Sounds like we need to start the Jayhawk Slant Christmas light business.
There you go.
I mean, we're missing a real opportunity here. We could be very, very busy and very well paid for it too, guys.
Yeah, I just don't know who's going to get up on that ladder between.
I was
going
to say we'd have to get like a forklift.
Cherry pickers are really good for that,
or
guys.
A scaffold. Yeah, yeah. Any
there
of
you
those.
Go. So now that we've seemingly talked about everything possibly going on, let's talk about some basketball, and specifically, you know, Shay, the Jayhawks are off to a great start already with wins over Kentucky and then Creighton earlier this week in what was one of the most entertaining college basketball games of the early season, without doubt, and a great matchup of two top 10 teams. I'm going to let you kind of tell the story and just kind of give us your thoughts on what you've seen from this team so far this season.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised, really, Randy. I mean, you know, when you replace Devon Dotson, who's obviously in the NBA now with the Bulls, and Udoka Azubuike, who is now with Utah, and then you lose Silvio De Sousa. To be honest with you, I wasn't really quite sure what to expect. You know, I went back and just looked at highlights of every game, wrote some notes, and really, I mean, this team is not playing bad basketball. I mean, you look, with 10 minutes to go in the second half against Gonzaga, they're down by 1 point. Obviously, I know that ended up being a 102-90 defeat. You know, they're down by 1 point with 218, and then, you know, kind of turnovers, foul trouble, and KU really kind of just, I don't want to say self-destructed, but they didn't do themselves any favors. I mean, with, you know, 8 minutes to go, all of a sudden they're down 7, you get another turnover, and then another turnover, and things kind of just snowballed from there. You know, so they rebounded against St. Joseph's, I think 94-72, comeback, after a few days in Florida, you get to Indianapolis to face Kentucky, and, you know, again, another game that went back and forth. You know, I believe they were tied at 55-55 with 3 minutes to go. You know, Oach hits a big time three, puts them up 3, and then I think on the next possession scores in transition on a dunk. They're up 5, and, you know, they just close the deal. I'm just, you know, the thing about this team is they just find ways to win. North Dakota State in a game, Randy Rennelly sitting in Allen Fieldhouse, I thought they were going to lose. There was just that feeling of, you know, a winless North Dakota State team coming in, hitting shots, really playing well. You know, Kansas is down 3, I think, with a little under 4 minutes to go. And then I think with 120, Tyon Grant Foster gives them the lead for good on a layup, and, you know, they escape. And then Creighton, I mean, a game that went back and forth, 40 seconds to go, tie game. Jalen Wilson hits a big-time 3, which puts him up 3. Obviously, he fouled on the other end on the very next possession. You know, Marcus missed the 2 free throws, or hit 2 free throws, missed the last one, and they win. So in those 4 games there, I gave you 4 different names of guys who have stepped up and, you know, made game-winning plays when they needed it most. And it certainly hasn't been perfect, and it's weird for me when you look out there and you don't have a guy like Doak. You know, you don't have a guy like Devon. There's not a Frank. There's not a Devontae. There's not a Svi. There's not that one guy that you know you can really count on. But there's a whole bunch of guys that can make plays. I mean, in the Creighton game, I thought, you know, Bryce Thompson hit those back-to-back jumpers, those mid-range jumpers that I thought were huge. You know, Jalen Wilson is emerging as a huge, huge star for Kansas, 23-10 against Creighton. You know, I thought David McCormick, while not particularly in the second half, in the first half, you know, was probably his best game so far. He's still not playing up to what many people thought he would, but he's coming along. And so, yeah, I mean, just different guys on different nights. And you know, it's amazing to me that they beat number 8 Creighton with their leading scorer, Ochai Agbaji, not scoring at all. So just gritty, grindy, finding ways to win. You know, that's the mark of a really good team. And I'm interested to see kind of moving forward how they go. Obviously, they have Omaha Sunday or Friday, game Sunday, and then Big 12 play. So things are about to start getting real serious here in a couple days.
that's been the crazy part, is it seems like every time I turn around, there's another game, and we're not used to seeing that in the early part of the season. And, you know, one of the things that we have seen so far, though, that we're kind of accustomed to from Bill Self and the way that he runs his program, we're seeing, you know, some different lineups, some different variations in regards to the personnel that he's putting on the court. I'm curious if there's a set of guys that you have seen, Shea, that you like better than others to this point in the season, or if there's a guy or two you see that gives the team a spark that could be in line for more minutes over the next month or so.
Well, for me, you know, I like the five guard lineup, Brandy. I do. Unless you have a guy like Doak, and this is not at all a knock on David. I think David's going to be just fine. I know that Bill thinks he's got a chance to lead him in scoring, and I think that can still happen. But for me, the five guard lineup is just, you got guys that can shoot all over the court. You can get up and down the court. I know defensively there's some challenges with either, you know, Marcus playing a big, or you know, Jalen Payne playing a big man or whatever. But I just like the idea of having five guys on the court that can shoot, that can drive, that can dish, and all those things. I mean, to me, that's just – when you've got five guys on the court that can shoot, you know, that's difficult for a defense to match up against. But obviously on the flip side, when the opposing team has a big man down in the paint that can score at will, that you know, that kind of makes it a little frustrating as well. As far as guys go, I mean, Jalen Wilson, you guys, has been superb. But now he's leading KU in scoring now with, I think, 16 points a game, leading rebounder. You know, I really believe that David's going to get going. I just think it's a matter of time. I think he started the season putting too much pressure on himself. Wanted to come out and maybe fill the shoes left by Udoka. Obviously, that's not his role. His role is to play his game. And I think he kind of got a little sped up. And once he calms down and kind of relaxes and goes back to playing the way that he's capable of playing, I think he'll be just fine. You know, Bryce, I expect Bryce to keep seeing minutes. You know, Tyon Grant Foster, I expect to keep seeing minutes. You know, a Tristan Inaruna to see minutes. You know, I think once we get into conference play, once kind of coach has a feel for the guys and a comfort level, you'll see him narrow down that, you know, that rotation and you know, I think you'll probably see 5, 6, 7 guys, depending on matchups, and he'll run with those guys and see what happens.
You know, up next, the Jayhawks take on Omaha and then Tarleton State after that, and then we get into the real action as Big 12 conference play kicks off against Texas Tech and West Virginia. Shea, what do you want to see from this squad before conference play begins?
You know, I think just consistency. You know, you're not going to always be able to win a game against a top 10 opponent when your leading scorer is scoreless. I mean, I think Oach needs to be, you know, he needs to be aggressive. He needs to be confident. He needs to, you know, to be able to step up and make big plays on either end of the court. You know, he's a guy that absolutely can't go scoreless if KU is going to have a successful Big 12 run. It can't. I mean, they need him. He's a guy that can score from beyond the arc. He's a guy that can get to the basket. And, you know, when he's held scoreless, that's I mean, other guys around him got to step up. And, you know, he's just got to be that guy. You know, I want to continue to see Christian Brown be aggressive. You know, he really shot it well the other night. He's a guy that can change the outlook of a game dramatically with his shot. I mean, he's confident. He kind of plays with a swagger and a fire that this team needs, and he's a star. He's a star in the making. You know, obviously David McCormick, I mentioned, you know, he's a guy that's really going to have to be the man in the paint for Kansas. And I noticed the other day, like, when he was scoring in the paint, particularly in the second half, when he went 0-4, he was kind of drifting away from the ball on his shot. He just needs to play confident. Don't put the ball on the ground, on the floor. You know, seal off your man, get position, dunk, and get back on defense. I mean, at times, to me, he's making it almost too complicated. And the bench guys, I want to see how the bench guys do. You know, DeJuan Harris, when he gets his minutes. Mitch Lightfoot, when he gets his minutes. Tristan Inaruna, you know, when guys aren't playing a ton of minutes and all of a sudden they're called upon, how do they respond? You know, I want to see how this team handles adversity on the road. Obviously, playing at Texas Tech, you know, I don't know what. I need to go and look. I don't know what their rule is on fans. Obviously, it's not going to be a true road contest, but you're playing away from home. You know, I thought they did unbelievably well for the most part in Florida. With those two games, you know, did a good job in Indy, you know, but this will be like a true road test, you know, see how they respond, how they play, and see if those guys can continue to, you know, make big shots. Who's going to make the big plays? So far, we've seen, you know, Brown's hit some big shots. We've seen Jalen Wilson have some big games. Tyon Grant Foster, who hasn't played a ton yet, has made some big plays. You know, Bryce hit some big shots. Just kind of want to see who's going to emerge from the pack, maybe set themselves apart from the rest a little bit, and just see how this team all comes together. You know, I'm interested to see how Coach handles the lineup. Is he going to stay with David? Will he go small? Yeah, I'm just, you know, I just want to see this team continue to grow. And it's weird for me. You know, I don't know if this plays a role in it or not, Randy. Just the whole games at Allen Fieldhouse thing was weird. Just the team, the setup, the you know, seeing the chairs spread out, seeing the benches next to the where the I'm sorry, the seats next to the benches pushed back up, and it's just, you know, it's, I don't know if we'll ever get a true sense of what this season is about, simply because everything's different. It's just seeing people walk around with masks, and you know, it's just a weird feeling, man. Something like you'd see in a movie.
That's a great way to describe it. I mean, for anybody that has ever seen the movie Pandemic, there's a lot of that that has come true through all this.
Yeah, it's just different. Just a whole different. I mean, road games won't be the Manhattan. Going to Manhattan won't be the same. Going to Ames won't be the same. So if this is a year where you're ever going to, I don't know, maybe make a run with a team that, you know, maybe isn't supposed to make one, and I'm not saying that's not Kansas, this might be the year, because really, for the first time in a long time, everybody's on equal footing. I mean, there's going to be no advantages, no disadvantages. It's just suit up, play, and may the best team win.
You know, you mentioned that. I mean, we're just a couple days removed from Duke losing, not just losing, but getting handled in Cameron Indoor, and It is a completely different world right now, with so few fans in the stands, if they're even allowing fans in the stands, depending on the rules at the location that you're talking about. I mean, we're writing history literally every time this squad takes the floor right now.
Absolutely.
Looking ahead a little bit, you know, we've talked about recruiting. And we've said all along, or you've said all along, because you're the expert on it, that, you know, look like two players would sign in this class, but you've always kind of said there could be more. You've been pretty consistent with that. Then 2 weeks ago, they add Sidney Curry, who is a really good-looking, big, nasty, nasty player. I know you've watched him and talked to him. What are your thoughts on this latest pickup for Bill Self and his staff?
Yeah, I think he's just what the doctor ordered. I think the first comparison, and I don't know if Coach would make this, because he's not allowed to talk about a player until they sign, but a little bit of Azubuike. I'm 6'9", 265. He's a dog in the paint, dog on the rebounds, just plays the game. I mean, he doesn't pretend to be somebody that he's not. He's not going to be one of those guys that steps outside and tries to hit the mid-range jumper and float around the perimeter, and he knows what his role is, and he plays it extremely well. He's a guy that's going to come in, and it's going to be weird, Randy, because with the rules now, obviously, you know, guys like, and I don't know how this would affect him necessarily, but, you know, Mitch Lightfoot could come back next year. Depending on David McCormick, he could come back. And I'm assuming he will, unless he just completely resets the record books moving forward. But I think Sidney's a guy that's going to come in with the other two and make this team instantly better down low. It reminds me kind of some of the Illinois teams that Bill had early on, when they would just throw forward, just throw big men at you. I know 1 year Kansas and Illinois met in the tournament, and I think it was, oh, I can't remember, 2002 maybe. I'll have to go back and look, but I remember Illinois' front court just beating Nick Collison and beating him. Yep. And beating him. And just by the end of the game, KU's front court was just demolished. And so I think when you look at this signing class, you know, you'll have a Sidney Curry, you'll have a KJ Adams, you'll have a Zach Clemens, you'll return, you know, a David McCormick, a Jethro Muscadin, possibly a Mitch Lightfoot. I mean, just bodies that you can throw at guys that you know, have different styles on the court. But Sidney is definitely a guy that's going to play in the paint. You know, he can block shots, effective around the basket, and just a big body dude that gets after it.
Last question before we wrap this up, wrap up the basketball part of this podcast. Shay, tell us, is Curry, is he it for the 2021 class, or do you think there could still be someone else that gets added to this class?
Well, I think a lot depends on what happens at the end of the year, you know, who declares, who stays. Obviously, Hunter Salas, the five-star point guard from Millard North in Omaha, he calls coach right now and says, hey, I'm ready to commit. Obviously, you take that. The number six-ranked player in the class, 6'5", 175. As of right now, I see him leaning elsewhere, but he's, you know, he hasn't officially eliminated Kansas. The Jayhawks are still very much in the mix. You know, Jonas Adu, a 7-foot center, is actually deciding today. And my best gut feel is, and I think most would agree, that Marquette is going to be the choice, if not Marquette, Kansas. But, you know, I just think there's too many smoke signs, you know, headed leaning Marquette's way. And then lastly, right now, a 3-star guard, Brandon Pozeminski. He's got offers from Kansas, Kentucky, and a host of other schools. Not going to do anything until the spring, obviously. You know, I talked to his coach the other day, and he said, you know, Kansas remains in constant contact, but, you know, right now teams are just focused on, you know, finding ways to make it through this pandemic with playing as many games as possible. So he's not really focused on the recruiting. You know, right now, Randy, of the guys I mentioned, I just, you know, I don't know if any of them, if they do add another guy or two, I would say that it will be somebody that emerges late or, you know, a grad transfer, you know, or if there's a coaching change, something like that. I just, right now, I don't see any of these current guys that I just mentioned coming to Kansas.
That's our man, Shay Wildebor, on the basketball beat. Shay, I appreciate you joining us today. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care, man. Have a good one.
Now let's shift gears and move back over to the football side with our man, John Kirby. JK, you know, this Jayhawks squad, they came close to snapping that Big 12 road losing streak on Saturday against Texas Tech. But it just clearly, they just couldn't break through. What were your thoughts on the loss to the Red Raiders?
Well, you know, Randy, the first thing that really, you know, it's like a love-hate game, right? I mean, what you love is the effort that the kids played with. And at this point in the season, going on the road, you know, DJ Elliott wasn't there. They haven't won a game. They're almost 30-point underdogs. And you're just, what you want to see is you want to see effort. And you want to still see kids playing. And I've seen Kansas teams in this situation. They don't play with that effort. They don't play with the intensity. This, you can feel the season's about done. You start to lose some focus. But, boy, they went down there, and they were ready to play. And that's the part that you love. The part that you really hate is the fact that game was there for the taking. And it's one of those things, do you feel good after the game? You know, that they just took a Big 12 opponent to the wire on the road where they were heavy underdogs. Are you deep down, are you a little upset because you're saying, God, that was the chance right there? I mean, everything played out the way that they needed. I've always said this. I've said it on the podcast. I've said it on Sports Radio 810 when I've gone on. If Kansas is going to win a game, Randy, in the Big 12 with this team, it's going to have to be something I've said in the 20s. Well, heck, they could have even won in the teens last week. So I think the game, everything played out the way you needed it to. It would have been just so nice if they could have just found a way to get a drive. But listen, the defense played outstanding. Now, Texas Tech shot themselves in the foot a lot. I mean, you got the 4 turnovers. I think the guy missed 3 field goals, and he hadn't missed a field goal going into the game all year long. So, you know, that's 7 empty possessions. I mean, in the game of college football, especially in the Big 12 where it's an offensive conference, if you can get 7 empty possessions from a team, you are going to be in this. If you would have told me before the game, Randy, that Kansas would force 4 turnovers, Tech would miss 3 field goals, Tech would only score 16, Kansas would have the ball almost 10 minutes more for the game, I'd have told you, I'll bet my next month's mortgage that Kansas wins that game. You know, they just couldn't put anything together offensively. The week before, Texas Tech offense goes into Stillwater against a really good defense, puts up over 500 yards and 44 points. So, I mean, the fact they held him to 16 is just amazing. So, but I go back to it and say, the one good thing I like, and I think this is a staple of a program that's trying to build, is the kids are still playing with a lot of effort.
I agree. It was very evident, and they were there. They were there until the very end, and it's like you said, it would have been so nice to see them finally break through. You know, talking about, you know, you mentioned the defense. Let's talk a little bit about the offense. Were you surprised at all that Myles Kendrick went the distance for the Jayhawks, and what do you take from that? I mean, does that say more about him? Is that about the situation with Jalen Daniels? What's your read on that?
Yeah, Randy, you know, I was perplexed, and I know I was kind of hard on him after the game. And, you know, I flat out asked Les Miles, and I think my question was to Les is, you're getting stop after stop, turnover after turnover, and yet you're not capitalizing. Did you ever think about making the change? And he said no. But and I do know that Daniels was available. So I kind of look at it, Randy, almost like going to the bullpen in a game where you need a guy, or to give somebody a different look, or whatever the analogy you want to use. I just kind of thought, we're watching the offense stall and not move the ball and not move the ball. And I'm thinking, okay, is this where you bring in the pinch hitter, the relief guy out of the bullpen? Is this where you come in with Jalen Daniels, who is faster than Kendrick? He can make some runs. He's got a bigger arm. He probably a better threat on the deep ball. So I'm thinking, at some point, you've got to kind of change your luck up, right? You've got to kind of give a different look when your defense is doing everything humanly possible, and they never did go with them. The thing that I'm kind of starting to figure out in all this, Randy, is, and, you know, Kansas always gets in this situation. They're always playing true freshmen. They're always playing kids before they need to, because they keep putting themselves in roster spots year after year. And this is not a knock on Les Miles' staff, because they're playing with the roster that they inherited. You know, pretty soon we're not going to be able to say that, but right now they are. But they're to a point where Jalen Daniels was the best option at quarterback as a true freshman. He has the best tools, but you put him out there. And I remember after the Oklahoma game, someone asked Les Miles, they said, "Coach, would you think about just putting Daniels on the bench for the rest of the year just to preserve his confidence?" Because I want to say he got hurried like 7 times in that game. He got sacked 9 times. He was hit like 5 others. I mean, the kid was just beat up. Well, at the time when Miles was asked that question, I was thinking, golly, no, you don't do that. You put that kid out there and play. Well, maybe there's some truth to that, and maybe that's how they're kind of handling this, is they're saying, why keep putting him out behind an O-line that's struggling and just having the kid take hit after hit after hit? And the way I look at it is they're probably going to keep him on the sideline, wait for spring football, get him in the weight room, let Dearman work with him this spring and see if they can, you know, work out some of those kinks that he's probably developed during this time. He's probably got happy feet. He's probably not reading the defenses. He's got eyes in the back of his head looking where the pressure's coming from. So at some point, you know, Dearman's going to have to kind of work with him this spring and get him going. But yeah, on your original question, I was a little surprised that Daniels never came in for one snap.
That really was maybe the most shocking thing of the entire game to me, was that we never saw him at all. There was, you know, they told us he was available, that he wasn't hurt. It wasn't a situation like that. That was a head scratcher for me. Now, as we sit here, we're recording on Thursday morning, and it looks like the game against Texas scheduled for this Saturday will be played. This is going to close out the 2020 season. And it was what has been one of the, if not the most unusual season any of us have ever experienced as college football fans. What do you want to see in this last game for the Jayhawks?
Well, Randy, I want to see what I saw last week. I want to see kids coming out and playing with effort. And, you know, a lot of this right now, you're looking for any positive if you're Kansas, especially to take Absolutely. Into the offseason. I was telling somebody the other day, if Texas Tech would have been the last game of the season, boy, you could really kind of go into the offseason with a little bit of enthusiasm that, hey, you know, we just went on the road. We just took a team down to the wire, easily could have won, probably should have won, and being big underdogs. And you can take that into the offseason saying you're close. Well, it would be nice to see them come out against Texas. You know, it's going to be a weird day on Saturday. And come out and play with the same type of intensity and effort that they played against Texas Tech. Now, I think Texas is a lot better personnel, but that's what I would like to see for the last game, just to take something into the offseason.
I agree with you. And it's like you said, it's too bad that it couldn't have been last week that closes it out. And for all we know, I mean, as of this moment, the game is going to be played, but there's always the possibility that because of COVID, something kicks up and we're not able to go on the field. But with that in mind, being on the optimistic side, before we get into this Texas game, looking at it from our perspective, let's bring in Jason. I want to make sure, Kirby, how do I say his last name? Because I don't want to mess this man's name up before we bring him on. Jason Sukumel from OrangeBloods.com joining us now to tell us about the Longhorns and give us their perspective on this matchup with Kansas.
I'm going to welcome in Jason Sukumel from OrangeBloods.com to talk about this week's game that's actually going to be played. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good, Kirby. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Well, it sounds like as we do this podcast recording, which is late Wednesday evening, it sounds like we're going to have a football game, but I want to touch base with you on the big news that's probably still going around Austin, and that's about Tom Herman. What's the latest? How's everything playing out with the whole job status thing? I think it's, you know, up here in Kansas, it's something we see all the time.
Yeah, you know, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's changed about 20 different times since then. So as we record this, as you said, Wednesday night, you know, I think the Urban Meyer thing has kind of fallen through is what we've heard. That was what everybody's sights were on, is would Texas be able to get Urban Meyer? I don't expect that's going to happen. So that's given Tom Herman a little bit of wiggle room. They had a big win last week, a convincing win against Kansas State. They're hoping they can finish this week, you know, with another win on the road against Kansas. If they do that, now I've changed my tune. I think there's a pretty good chance Tom Herman's going to be retained.
Well, let's move on to the game. I know you guys are covering that, doing a great job on your site with all of that. You know, talk about the Texas offense. Obviously, they looked really good last week. Who are the key players there, and what have you seen from them on offense?
Yeah, they finally kind of got things clicking last week against Kansas State. And, you know, if I'm being completely honest, it looked like the Kansas State defense had kind of thrown in the towel on the season, just some of their tackling efforts and things. But you can't take anything away. I mean, the Texas offense did perform well. You know, most people know Sam Ellinger, the senior quarterback for Texas. He's a four-year starter, so they got experience there. Really good runner at the quarterback position. He didn't run last week, though. It's interesting. Their running backs were doing so well for the first time, it seems like the first time in a few years, honestly, that Ellinger wasn't needed in the run game. So they're starting true freshman Bijan Robinson, five-star freshman that Texas signed out of Arizona. He went crazy last week, had his best game of his career, averaged almost 20 yards a carry. And Roshan Johnson, the I call him backup, but you almost could consider him co-starters. Roshan Johnson had a really good game last week against Kansas State as well. I think I saw this earlier today. I think those two were number one and number three in the country in Pro Football Focus in running back ratings last week. So that tells you how well both of them did last week. So they feel like they finally have got something going with this ground game, which kind of struggled early in the year. You know, but they feel like they found something there. They've kind of refocused on the running game. I think going back to a couple of these younger backs has helped. Their starter at the beginning of the year, Keontae Ingram, he opted out. So now they've been running the ball better without him. And it's funny, they lost their best offensive lineman, Sam Cosmi, opted out before last week's game. They had to reshuffle some parts, had some injuries. They came out last week, and their offensive line looked 100 times better than it's looked all year. So, you know, I guess it's just 2020 for you. It's kind of tough to figure this team out, but they had missing parts last week or missing pieces last week, but they put together their best offensive game of the year by far.
switch gears, head over to the defensive side. Kind of the same question there. You know, what have you seen from them defensively? Who are the guys to watch on that side of the ball?
Yeah, they've had a couple guys opt out on defense as well. Caden Stearns was their five-star safety. He opted out. But their main guy, if you're looking for guys to watch week in and week out, it's Joseph Osai, who is a linebacker, kind of a rush end, if you will. They'll put him on the line of scrimmage, and this is a guy that can really just get in the backfield and make plays in the backfield. Joseph Osai, they're pretty solid across the board on their defensive line. DeMarvian Overshone's their other linebacker. They run a two-linebacker set. DeMarvian Overshone's a converted safety. I tell you what, if Joseph Osai is the best player on this defense, DeMarvian Overshone may not be too far behind. He's still getting used to the position, but this guy is playing about as well as anybody on the team. In the secondary, I mentioned that they lost Caden Stearns. They actually had to start, and they had an injury at their other safety. They started a true freshman last week named Jaron Thompson. Guy's never played at all. He goes in there and has an interception, took it back to the one-yard line, then he had another one that went off his hands and just played really well, really instinctual. So it's kind of like the offense. We're late in the season. It's the last game. They've had a couple guys injured, a couple guys opt out. So some missing parts there, but they do have talent on defense. Kansas State was able to hit them, though, for a few big plays. Deuce Vaughn was able to kind of shake free for some big gains and ran the ball really well. I mentioned that the Texas running backs were 1-3 nationally by Pro Football Focus. Deuce Vaughn was number 2. So you had the top 3 rated running backs in one game last week. I doubt that's ever happened before. But, it's a Texas defense that had been playing really, really well, exceptionally well. Took a little bit of a step back last week against Kansas State. But most of that was after Texas kind of had the game in hand, really had a big lead early. So I think they kind of relaxed. So it's a pretty good Texas defense that most people would tell you probably that's the strength of this team. Now, the script kind of flipped last week, but week in and week out, that defense is usually the one leading the charge.
So this is a Saturday game. They just moved the time again now from, 2:30 to 3. Texas has got to go on the road to wrap it up. It's going to be 38 degrees, they're saying, for the high in Lawrence. Just tell me, how do you see this matchup and how do you see it playing out?
That's crazy. I didn't even know they'd changed the time. This thing's moved around so much, I didn't even realize they pushed it back 30 minutes here. Telling me something I didn't even know. But, on paper, this is a game that Texas should win. But Texas has struggled on the road last week, notwithstanding. They looked really good last week. But overall, Texas has struggled on the road. And history has shown us, Texas hasn't always played its best ball when it's gone to Kansas, and Kansas has always risen up and played Texas tough. So I think Texas wins this game. I think they probably win it by a couple scores, but man, nothing would surprise me. If Kansas got its first win of the season this weekend, I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. But yeah, I do think Texas will win the game. I think they'll go up there and handle their business. They keep saying, hey, they want to send the seniors out on a winning note, so they want to do that. They know they're still playing to some degree for Tom Herman's job, so I think the players will want to rally for Tom Herman. So I think Texas gets the win, but, is it going to be a close game? Is it going to be a sloppy game? Is it going to be an ugly game? I'm not sure how it will play out other than, I think Texas on paper certainly should get the win.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for joining us. It will be another interesting Saturday, I'm sure, for both teams. And like you said, nothing would surprise me either. And, hey, good talking to you, man. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Kirby. Good talking to you.
That was Jason Sukumel from OrangeBloods.com. Kirby, how do you see this game shaping up, and how do you see it playing out for the Jayhawks?
Well, I just said it. I think Saturday is going to be a weird day. And when I say that, you got it. First of all, excuse me, how interested is Texas? Okay. I mean, their season's over. They want to be in the Big 12 title game. They want to be in the national title hunt. That's what their goals are at Texas. On the flip side, if they're as interested as they were in Manhattan last week, it could be a rough one because they came to play in Manhattan and they did whatever they wanted offensively. The weather's going to be a factor. We're talking 37 degrees, some snowflakes in the morning. So Texas has better players, but they're going to come out and they're going to be, listen, you don't know how many people are going to be in the stands, okay? Texas walks out. There's 3,000 people there. It's cold. do they start looking around saying, hey, this is the last game of the year. What do we have to play for? You really don't know what the mindsets of these teams are going to be. Like you said, this is a year that we've never thought would happen. A year that we've never experienced ever before. So it's so hard to predict this thing. It just depends on the mindsets of each team. Here's what I'm going to do. If I've got to predict this game and give my thoughts on it, I'm gonna act like everything's normal. I'm gonna act like the weather is 55 and sunny. Texas comes to play. Kansas comes to play. And if that's the case, Texas has the better team. They've got an offense that can put up points. I mean, look what they did to KU last year. I think they put up 50 on them in Austin. I'm gonna say Texas 41, Kansas 14. Now give me yours.
That's exactly where I was gonna go. I was thinking 41-13 instead of going with two touchdowns for this Kansas offense. I was seeing, you know, touchdown, pair of field goals, touchdown, extra point, pair of field goals. But you and I are seeing it the exact same way. I mean, it's if it all comes down to how motivated the Longhorns are when they step on that field and come out of the locker room on Saturday. If they want to be there, if they have interest in taking out the frustrations on not being in the Big 12 championship game, it could look very similar to what we saw against the Wildcats in Manhattan or against K-State last weekend. But I'm on the exact same page with you. And that's the first time this year that we've really agreed on the score and how we see this thing going. Let's talk about the offseason. You know, we're about to start the next phase of this thing. And what is after a year where there was no spring practice, there was a disjointed off-season conditioning program. I mean, there was a lot of work that was lost out on that is so critical for a young squad and a program that's in this phase of the rebuilding effort as the Jayhawks are under Les Miles. I know you've said this off-season is huge for several of those reasons. How important is this in your mind?
Yeah, Randy, it's a huge off-season. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people throughout college football, and I've kind of made comments about how this the COVID situation hurt Kansas more than a lot of people. Use Kansas State, for example, okay? They've got a program in place. They've got a strength and conditioning guy, Chris Dawson, there. I mean, those kids, obviously, they didn't get to work out as much as they want to as well, but there's already something in place, and those kids have been put through it. Ben Anacione just got to Kansas in January, okay? He comes in. He can't even get him going. The pandemic hits. They got to shut everything down. They bring everybody back in the beginning of June. A few kids sprinkle in that second week of June. And then not long after that, they had to shut the weight room down for like 2.5 weeks because of COVID protocol. So now they bring them back. They get going. They're only back in the weight room for 3 or 4 weeks, and then you start fall camp. You can't work out during fall camp in the season like you can during the summer, where it's dedicated to really nothing but weights and strength and conditioning. So exactly. This is a huge offseason. Spring football, the coaches really get a chance to spend 15 practices with the kids and going over, especially a lot of the young ones, these young kids who haven't had a chance to be in a strength room yet and get developed. So this is a huge offseason. I have heard a lot of great things about Ben Anacione and his staff. I just posted a story this morning on Kyron Johnson, who, you know, said he has done great things for him already. So I think he will do a good job. He's just got to be able to get the kids in big groups and get them going. And, you know, again, with COVID, Randy, you know, there's limitations on group size. So, I mean, they're still having to work around hurdles. But once this season's over, I've heard, you know, his plan is to start getting these guys and immediately get to working on 2021.
Now, we're a week away from the early signing period, which, you know, we talk about the next phase of this thing. That's really the next phase when you look at the calendar. I want to give you the floor before we close out this edition of the Inside Slant podcast. You posted on the board that things have been quiet as we head into signing day, and you said that, and you always maintain this, when things are quiet leading up to signing day, that's good. Tell us why, and maybe give us some ideas about what's going on right now.
Yeah, Randy, you know, again, the COVID thing has been so weird. So, number one, quiet is great. The less you hear about recruiting for the next 6 days, the better. You know, unless it's a kid who's committing, which I don't know how many of those will be just with spots. One of the other things that's hard to gauge is you're still seeing kids decommit and then pick other schools. One of the reasons that things have been quiet on that front is because you can't take official visits now. You used to be able to track when kids snuck out on a visit and went somewhere, but now you can't tell if an opposing coach or an opposing staff is trying to get in on one of your recruits. They do it by Zoom call now, so you don't know they're going on, so things are a lot more secretive. Right now, so far as I can tell, things look really good with the Kansas commitments. I haven't heard of a lot of movement. I haven't heard of kids looking around. You know, DeKedrick Stearns is not technically on the commitment list right now. He publicly decommitted. He has not publicly recommitted, but I do feel very good about him. He is an offensive lineman that I really think can help in the program. He would also be an early enrollee, which would put him in Lawrence in January and give him a head start. Another guy I'm kind of tracking, he's been hard to read. Little bit of thought he might be leaning to Purdue is Marcus Imbo, an offensive lineman from Wisconsin. So really, that's about it. You know, you're going to have about 7 to 8 kids that I believe are going to sign early that will be early enrollees coming in January. So that's a nice thing when a third of your class. And then one kid that I've talked about that I do want to mention who will be coming back and enrolling early is Jacoby Bryant. He's a corner out of Alabama. And we all know Caron Prunty is really good. He has had an incredible true freshman season.
Yes.
I am telling you, everything that I've heard, and I trust where I hear it from, says that Jacoby Bryant is every good or better and definitely more talented than Caron Prunty. So that is a very high praise. So Jacoby Bryant will be on campus in January. He was somebody who signed a full year ago, ended up kind of doing the gray shirt thing, and he is someone that I think will have a chance to start and make a fast impact. So like I said, quiet is good. You add to DeKedrick Stearns, you're talking about a class that's pushing on the border of that top 40. And I mean, if they lose to Texas and finish 0-10, and this staff finds a way to hang on pretty much to every kid that they've recruited, you know, outside of an Amaya, Keon Coleman. I mean, that is an amazing statistic that if they can do that. So right now, all things are pointing to a very solid class in 2021 when we see the results next Wednesday.
You say if they can hold on to it, you know, that they could be pushing into the 40s. Would you have ever projected that, you know, even 4 months ago, before, you know, we were in the middle of COVID, we weren't quite sure we were going to be able to have a season, what it was going to look like. Would you have ever projected at that point that if KU went winless, they would be able to hold on to the class they put together?
Well, you know, I haven't known what to expect at all in this, in the crazy COVID recruiting. I'm still learning and just trying to see trends, you know, how they're playing out. But for these guys, they have done a great job building relationships. I've always said this. When you build a great relationship with a recruit and you make it hard for that recruit to tell you no or that he's decommitting, that's how you win recruiting battles. And that's what these guys have done.
That is exactly right. And you've told me that for as long as I can remember. And even back when I was coaching, I remember when my kids would be recruited by college programs, that was the thing you would see. The guys that made it the hardest to say no were the ones that were most successful. And I think that that's been something that this staff has really, really, they've had to adjust. They're not even able to build those relationships in person, and they're still having this kind of success in an unprecedented year for college football, for recruiting, for everything that goes into it. Even though they are likely to finish the year winless, I think there's a lot of good for Kansas fans to look forward to as this process of rebuilding continues for the Jayhawks. With that, that will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast. Thanks, as always, for joining us. If you are not a Jayhawk Slant subscriber, what are you waiting for? There is no better time right now with football and basketball both going on, recruiting, everything happening, coming from both sides, from the Memorial Stadium Slant Suite and from the Allen Fieldhouse Suite on our message boards. Get the full premium experience. Sign up now. Or if you're looking for a great gift for the KU fan in your life, there is no better gift than the gift of Jayhawk Slant and the Rivals Network. Unprecedented access to the top experts on KU men's basketball, Kansas football, and the world of recruiting in both sports. There's nothing like it. It's a great gift for the KU fan in your life. For Shea Wildebor, for our man John Kirby, I'm your host, Randy Withers. Thanks again for joining us. We will talk with you again soon.